kids this morning. Stay away from the fire, please.
Thinking this morning, what type of person comes to church when there's a tornado warning? I think we can see who came. Adrenaline junkies. Those that weren't scared. Or those that felt like they needed to be here in the end times. Man, the trees in the back, a couple of them were touching the ground. The wind was blowing so hard. Oh, are those unaware? This morning is going to be a special morning. We're going to hear from Aiden and Wycliffe Ministries, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. And when we do those things, we like to keep the kids in the church because we think that there's nothing more important than we do as a family than talk about missions. And taking to the Lord's Supper is just an extra to that. It's going to be a great month. We're going to really emphasize missions this month. Over the next several weeks, we're going to emphasize missions. We're going to hear from Aiden today, next week. We're going to hear from Kurt and Richard. And then coming soon, we're going to be hearing from Colin and Ronnie, those that have been in Africa. And I think most of you know their story about Water for All. And so be ready to be moved and encouraged and challenged all at the same time, hopefully. Aiden, you want to come on up? Aiden is going to talk to us this morning about Wycliffe Ministries. You know, this ministry really strikes a chord with me. Ewan knows this now. I was a religion major in college. In college, we would have... Sorry, Aiden. Or Ewan. We would have these missionaries come and speak to us quite frequently. And you kind of hear a lot of the same stories over and over, but we had somebody from Wycliffe Ministry come and share his story. And out of all the ministries that I had come and speak to me, that was the one that really left an imprint. And so I think you guys will be blessed the same way I was blessed hearing from Aiden. Being a religion major, like I said, you hear all these different stories. And one of the reasons I was touched by the Wycliffe Ministries in particular was because of the actual need of the gospel. And Aiden will present why that's still a need today. So this morning I want to introduce you to Aiden. Most of you know Aiden. He started coming here in 2002 when he was 8 years old. And he came here until he attended the University of Texas and found a church closer to campus with people his age there. And he majored in linguistics at the University of Texas. He used to run our video and our soundboard, even better than Stephen does today. Just kidding, Steve. Just kidding. The reason I said that is because we're going to show a video now. Before we dig into what Aiden's going to be talking about, let's see this video that talks a little bit about the ministry.
And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then finally the end will come. I was thinking today just what you would read about if you would get out a file of newspapers for the last 50 years and see what the world has called the significant events during that time. I have no doubt in the annals of heaven that one of the most significant events of the last half century has been the explosion of Bible translation, which has brought the Word of God to hundreds of tribes and languages. And much of this is because of the vision and genius of Cameron Townsend. He was a university dropout with an urgent desire to serve the Lord wherever the Lord should lead. And this should encourage many of you that are thinking about going into this type of ministry, that God can take a dedicated heart and consecrate it to His service and shake the world. You have to face squarely if your talents and your gifts and your training prepare you for Christian service. In fact, it might be said that Jesus only had two verbs: come and go. Come unto me and go into all the world. Go out quickly into the streets and into the lanes have a responsibility to see that every language has the Word of God written in it.
Gotta love Billy Graham. So, Aidan, is Bible translation still a huge need today?
Yes, absolutely. The statistics that Wycliffe has, according to those, there's still 1.5 billion people in the world who don't have the entire Bible published in their native language, in whatever language they speak best. And there's still 160 million people, which is like half the population of the U.S., that doesn't have a single word published in their language. There's a lot of translation projects and stuff that are ongoing and stuff, but there's still about 1,700 languages that need scripture and don't have anything published yet in it.
I hear one of the most asked questions about Bible translation is, why don't we just teach them English and give them an English Bible?
It's really remarkable the impact that giving somebody a Bible in a language that they already speak perfectly well does, and especially like their own native language. I've heard from a lot of people who have gotten Bibles from Wycliffe Projects, who somebody in Southeast Asia said, like, when we had to read this in the national language, it was like eating a banana with the skin on. It was not a great experience. And now that we have this in our own language, we just get to eat the banana, and it's great. And like, you hear stories about people who realize that they need a translation and really do their best, and it just sort of doesn't work out well because they're trying to read it in whatever language they have the Bible in, which is not their native language. There's a story of a guy who, just some rural church pastor, who realized that, you know, his congregation needs to read the Bible and understand it and not just have it come through him, because he's the one guy who speaks the national language. So he took the Bible and he was like, I'm going to translate this on my own. And his translation for John 3:16 ended up being something like, God wanted to possess the world so badly that he sent his son down here as a sort of, you know, representative to, and if anybody's dumb enough to believe him, then they won't die, but they'll wander the earth forever as a spirit. It's like, that's the best he could do. That was what he understood from the Bible that he had in a language that he spoke well enough to read. But clearly he missed the point. So we want to give these people Bibles that they actually do get the point from.
So you've joined with the Wycliffe Ministries. Can you tell us a little bit about them, how long they've been doing this, and really what their vision is for the future?
Yeah, Wycliffe, they've been around for a while. You saw in the video they mentioned a guy named Cameron Townsend. The whole Wycliffe thing started when he, in college, took a year off to go down to Guatemala to sell Bibles. And he was like, oh, this is great. We'll, you know, get the word of God out to everybody. And went down there, went to the middle of nowhere, basically, you know, mountain jungles, etc. And he was set up shop. He was like, all right, let's sell some Bibles. And nobody bought anything. He was like, what's going on here? Do they not want to hear about Jesus? And he asked around, and somebody told him, we don't speak Spanish. We're not Spanish people. We're Mayans. We speak Cactus. We can't understand anything in this book. Why would we ever buy it? And so he was like, okay, this is a big need. So he founded, he did a bunch of things, including founding Wycliffe in 1942, I think it was. And since then, they've been doing a lot of things. But the model used to be, and was for a long time, that you would take a guy, or a guy and his family, and send them out into the jungle, or wherever, and they would sit there for 20 years, live among the people, and boom, there's a Bible, and that's it. And Wycliffe has kind of realized that that's not the best way to do things anymore. In 1999, the guy who was in charge of Wycliffe at the time realized that at the rate they were doing things, they wouldn't have even started the last Bible translation until the 2120s sometime. And he was like, that's not okay. We need to do this a lot faster. We need to get this stuff out. So Wycliffe has been doing a lot of reevaluation and incorporating other ideas and stuff into their work, and their goal is to start the last one in 2025, which seems remarkably doable from the rate that they're doing things. We don't know if we're going to hit that, but it's entirely possible that we could legitimately start the last Bible translation we need to do in like less than 10 years.
That's amazing. I've known Aidan since he was 8 years old, and I know a lot of you have known Aiden for a long time, and I don't mean any offense to this, Aiden, but as long as I've known you, you don't seem like the one that has always wanted to go overseas. Can you explain how you kind of got that vision and that passion to do that?
Yeah, I think, if you would ask me, I found out about linguistics in 7th grade, I was like, okay, I want to do this now. But if you would ask me the whole time through college, what do you want to do with this? Linguistics is not a lucrative major. What are you supposed to do with your life? And I would have just said, I'm just going to go be a professor, teach other people, make them figure out what to do with it, because I don't know. But the awesome thing about Wycliffe is that I realized this is a place where I can actually do something really useful for the kingdom. Like, I am super not the guy who will go out on the streets and be like, yeah, Jesus loves you, and, all that stuff, and find random people and talk to them. But I can still enable the people who are gifted to do that and do things that I'm really good at and really enjoy and still be a useful part of, God's kingdom and God's plan and stuff without having to be the front lines telling everybody that I can possibly find about Jesus. And not to say that I shouldn't tell people about Jesus, but that doesn't have to be the thing that I go out and do. I can still be effective in missions without being, the stereotypical missionary.
That's awesome. I saw a hand.
Well, I was wondering if you could explain linguistics.
Yeah. What my job is when Wycliffe does these translations and things, they have to figure out what is the best way to phrase things in this language and what is the best way to make sure we get our point across. And in order to do that, we have to understand how the language works a lot better than just, we learned it, now we can speak it. We have to go back and say, why does this not work? What's going on here? Why does this sound weird? Why is this not getting the point across? So my job is to do the analysis and to figure out what's going on. I heard a story while I was at Wycliffe in January, actually from the person who was part of this translation team, and she said that the translation she was working in Panama, for a long time, the translation that they had with the partial Bible translation, the word they had for believe, you must believe in Jesus, was, I don't remember the form of the word, but the word that they had chosen, it turns out that it mostly means obey rather than believe, and believe is kind of a secondary meaning, and so everybody was hearing, you must obey Jesus, you must, follow all the commands and do all those things, and that was what everybody was trying to do. And somebody came in and realized, wait, this is not the right word for this. We need to look for a different one. And they found a better one, and one that meant, put your trust in, believe in that sense. And people were like, this is different. And people's lives started to change because they actually got it. When you made that one word switch out, people's lives started to change. And, the dude on the translation project stopped sleeping around and stopped going to bars and things because he got what Christianity was about at that point just because of that word change. So that's going to be my sort of job, is figure out how things work so that we don't end up with problems and we can solve whatever problems we end up with.
Did I hear you say you were interested in linguistics when you were in the 7th grade?
Mm-hmm.
Is that normal?
No. Most people find out about linguistics when they're in college and take an intro to linguistics course because that sounds kind of interesting. And they're like, oh, okay, I guess I could do this. Most people haven't even heard about linguistics until they go to college. Even professors didn't hear about it until they went to college. So I consider myself very blessed that I have known what it is I'm built to do for a very long time.
That's awesome. So are you going to be working from here? Are you going overseas? Do you know where you're going?
I have a good idea. So far, the plan is Papua New Guinea. I've been talking to HR people. It's not 100% set in stone. I haven't, been signed on and so on, but it seems pretty good right now. Papua New Guinea is a pretty interesting place. They have, a third of the world's languages on that one island, which is ridiculous. So there's an enormous need. And the person that I was talking with said that they just recently realized they're running, 200 projects, and they have 4 well-trained languages. So they're looking to bring on more people. And that's absolutely the work I want to be doing. Because, people come to me and say, I don't understand what's going on here. I can tell you exactly what's going on here. I would love to tell you exactly what's going on here. So I'm pretty excited about that. And so I would go off there and be there for however long.
So how did you discover that you had this passion for languages?
It's a funny story, because when I was in seventh grade, I'm an enormous nerd, and if that's not already obvious. And when I was in seventh grade, I was really into like Lord of the Rings, and Tolkien made languages for his stories to happen with and so on. I was like, he did that, I could just do that. So I started doing that and learned about languages, learned about linguistics, and got really interested in like the mechanics of language and how that works and how you make a language that is reasonable and looks like a normal language and things. And so, you know, 7-10 years later, here I am.
Pretty amazing how God works from finding your spiritual gift through a secular movie. That's pretty awesome to me. Anything else you want to share? Are there any questions for Aiden? Anything else you wanted to cover?
I don't think so. I've got the stuff in the back.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that in a second. But is there any more questions for Aiden? We're going to continue to talk. Go ahead.
Not 100%. Papua New Guinea has, like, they have specific times where they onboard all the new people and just do a big orientation once or twice a year. So it might be this next January. That's my goal, is to get enough support to be able to go this January. If not, it would be the next August.
In Papua New Guinea
specifically, they've got a lot of people. I don't know what the number is, but they're in Papua New Guinea, actually. They operate what is possibly the largest missionary base in the world. There's a lot of people right there, because basically the whole island works out of this place, because you go to a place and you can't really stay there. It's in the middle of nowhere. There's no services or anything. And so you go there, you spend a couple weeks working with people, and then you go back and do whatever work that you can do on your own in the complex.
So you'll have good support?
Yes.
They're pointing at each other.
I want to know about your support. Do we support you through Wycliffe or individually straight to you?
We'll get to support in just a second. You're good. That's a good
thing. I appreciate the enthusiasm.
Where is Papua?
It is right north of Australia in South Pacific. Well,
1,000 miles from here.
Yes. Not exactly the opposite side of the planet. Kind of.
Basically.
We have a family from Lakeway there in Papua New Guinea.
That's awesome.
Eric and, well, they took their little bitty Eric and Terry Loughlin. They took three children, small children, including a baby that was about 2 years old, and off they went to Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Do you know who they were working with?
Lakeway.
They're going to have good support for those kids, though, then. That's probably the best place that they could take those kids. That's awesome.
They send pictures all the time. They're having fabulous.
Yeah. I'll have to look them up.
3 years.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, one of my favorite things about this church is we see ourselves as a family church that really supports mission. So we have a responsibility to partner with Aiden in a couple of ways, to partner with him in prayer. And there's going to be a sign-up sheet at both exits, and there's several ways that you can support him. And one, he's really emphasized that he would love this church body to be praying for him and praying for his ministry. The second question that was asked is financial support. You can support the ministry kind of earmarked for Aiden. You're really supporting Wycliffe Ministry, but he would be allowed to use the funds. And the best way to support is a monthly support. Giving $120 is nowhere near as good as supporting him $10 a month. You know, they look at his allowances by how much monthly he is able to support. So that is the best way to support him, is a monthly financial support. There are brochures that are going to be in the back, along with a sign-up sheet that talks about Aiden, that talks about his ministry, which... One of my favorite things about the brochure is the location is wrong on it, and that's how missions works. You know, whenever he first signed up, they have changed his original place that he was going to go, and they might change it again. And that is what missionaries do. They have to be flexible. Wherever wherever God takes them is where he's going. So right now it's Papua New Guinea. In 2 months it might be somewhere else.
So
so we as a church, if you feel called, if you feel led to support, we wanted to allow you guys that opportunity. You know, we've been going through the book of Genesis, and one of the points of Genesis is to understand this life, these possessions I own, the finances, they're not mine, they're God. And for us as a family, our responsibility is to pray and say, God, what do I need to do? What is my role with this? So if you have any questions about finances or about what's the best way to go about it, one of the boxes on the sign-up sheet is I would like to talk to Aiden, and Aiden can set up a meeting with you and describe any questions that you have. Go ahead.
Are you going to have like a newsletter or something for us?
Yes. If you want to put your email address or like a mailing address, I can mail it to you, but email is easier. If you want to put an email address on the sign-up sheet, there's a spot for it, and I will put you on my mailing list. I don't know for sure what that looks like. It might be at the end of the 3-year term. It might be partway through. I don't know.
I just saw some panic on Stacy's face. Go ahead, Mish.
Can you tell us what you know about the culture or the people there?
There's a lot of stuff that I'm sure I will be learning once I get there. But Papua New Guinea especially, there are a lot of different people groups all through, because the country is covered in mountains and mostly covered in jungles. And so there's all these little valleys that haven't talked to each other in millennia. So there's a lot of cultural differences, but it's a lot of still sort of hunter-gatherer-ish culture. There's more and more inroads in for modern technology, modern things. A lot of people there have cell phones, and that's their access to the world. I met a guy when I was doing grad school in North Dakota a couple summers ago who was like working on a project to get like a Bible, like it's basically like a program that you can put on like a SD card and give it around to everybody so you can read the Bible on your smartphone and then hand it off to somebody else and they can read it on theirs, and it's really cool. He works down in there, and so he's like, that's the key. So there's a lot more that I have to learn. But.
And a lot of places are only accessible by air. Mm-hmm. So that's what Eric's doing down there. He's managing the aviation department for them down there.
Yeah.
They live out in the jungle with the people, and they make all the food. The pictures we take are really incredible. So would you have a Facebook page type thing where you could post the pictures?
Quite possibly, yes. I still have to figure out whether that's going to work. Because the place I was going to go was like super locked down on information. And so I kind of want to be like, you know, if I get called to go somewhere like that again, I don't want to have so much of a digital trail that I can't clean up. But on the other hand, I might be able to just do that. So
at the end of like a 3-year stint, would you have expected to translate maybe sort of 4 New Testament books? Or would you, how does that work? Would have done a whole Bible in.
Yeah, no. I'm not exactly sure. Like, in terms of for me individually, I think it's just I'll give whatever support I can to the projects that are ongoing. In terms of the rate that these things go, it seems like they can do, if I'm remembering the statistics right, it depends a lot on the situation. If you're just starting from nothing, this language looks like nothing we've ever seen before. You have to do all the things from, you know, ground zero. It might take 10 years from start to finish for the whole thing, which is a lot better than it used to be. But like, if you've got like 3 or 4 really closely related languages, they've actually got some software they've developed that will let you convert kind of automatically, you know, with some manual correction and stuff, and they can knock it out in like 6 months. So I would be parts of both of those processes. I don't know for sure the projects that I would be working on.
Which is really cool to me to see how the ministry is adapted. You know, at first you sent some guy out in the sticks and he would spend 20 years out there trying to learn their language, teach them how to speak, and it was all based on this one guy. And now they have teams and people work together and they're on multiple projects, so they're able to be much more successful and quicker at doing what they're doing. But like Aiden was saying, that each circumstance is different. So it's hard to have a bottom line time on that. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah. Were you after the
little bit. I've got one more training program that I have to do before I go. It's about how to communicate interculturally and how to learn how to interact a little better with people that aren't from your culture, so that, you know, partially so I can just work with them, but also for that sort of thing. A lot of what we do is we get native speakers of these languages to do translation checking and stuff, so we don't even necessarily have to learn how they're going to interpret it, because we just straight up ask them, what does this mean to you? Does it mean what we wanted it to mean to you? Which is awesome. But yeah, I just still have a little bit left to do in terms of training, kind of in that zone.
Ryan, did you have a question?
Yeah, are y'all translating directly from like Hebrew and Greek into these languages?
Yes, mostly. We have, like, the people that we bring on whose job is to do the translation checking and the exegesis and stuff, and they are expected to have familiarity enough that they can go back and check and see, does this make sense from the originals?
Yeah.
So if translating from is a bit of a complicated question,
yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely checking against the original Greek and Hebrew.
Dan?
It's my understanding, as far as support is concerned, that you have to have number of pledges up to a certain amount before they could send you over there?
Yes.
So it is to start pretty quick, right?
Yeah, that would be nicer, so that, you know, I could say I have this much support, this is how much I've done, this is how much people have promised. And anything that is given before I go goes towards first time expenses and things like that, that you know, like plane tickets to get there and vaccines and things like that are really expensive on the front end. So, you know, if you start giving now, that money is not at all going to waste.
Does Wycliffe give you any funding?
Not generally. They have a fund set aside for if, you know, somebody who's giving to you, like a partner, drops off and you need to cover a loss or something. But in principle, Wycliffe missionaries are 100% supported from their own communities.
So as long as I've known Aiden, I think you can see it as well as I can, that he was designed for linguistics. I mean, molded by God to do this. And I am not. I can't imagine. I can't wrap my head around doing what he is doing. And it's really neat to see how God can use two totally different talents and skills to further his kingdom. And that's really neat to see. As different as we are, we can be unified by working together through love for Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different types of gifts, but the same Spirit that distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given the Spirit of message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the same means and the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpreting different kinds of tongues. All of these work from one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each just as he determines. Just as the body, though, one has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And I was blown away when reading this and thinking about Aiden and thinking about the work that he's doing. And just last week, Ryan read either this exact same scripture or one very similar. I can't remember if he read that one or the one from Ephesians. But just to see how God had this plan in seventh grade for Aiden to watch a movie to get passionate about translating a Bible in Papua New Guinea. It's amazing how God's worked. Kim?
I have just a little bit, and this wasn't choreographed at all. Y'all need to hear this because I was Aiden's pastor for years.
Absolutely.
Point number one. Point number two, it was my privilege to sit for a number of years in a discussion group with Aidan, where we talked about every theological concept that you can imagine, and Aidan is just as solid as they can be theologically. And so it's just wonderful that he's come up through this church with the gifts that were exacted, the amazing miraculous gifts, and I just couldn't be more encouraging just from a church perspective that Aidan is doing this.
Amen.
Speak and also language. I would probably say like 2.5-ish. But yes, I will have to learn the local language there in Papua New Guinea is Opisin, which is an English-based Creole. So it's not like in terms of words, the structure is very different from English, but the words are a lot of them are recognizable if you have an English background. So it's not that hard to learn. It's easier than many other places. But yes, I will need to learn that to talk to the various people, and I'll probably. I don't know exactly how much of individual target languages I'll be learning, because I'm going to be probably jumping around between a bunch. But yes, I will have to learn at least one other language to function there.
We're going to pray for Aidan before we dismiss in the middle of the church like we always do. We're not sending him off yet because he isn't going off, but we can start supporting him sooner rather than later, and we're going to pray for him. But before we do that, we're going to take the Lord's Supper, which I think it's really fitting to do this today. You know, the kind of the family coming together, and as we've been reading through Genesis, how many special events happen over the dinner table, especially the one that we just read about, a brother saving his brothers over dinner. You know, and Jesus chose the Lord's Supper to be something very special for us to take together as a family. So if a couple of gentlemen can come up and help me serve the Lord's Supper, I would appreciate it.
Head on down.
Yeah, you can go. Book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 26 says, "While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat, this is my body.'" Men are going to pass out the bread and hold on to it, and we'll pray for it as a group. The scripture goes on to say, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Kurt, will you bless the body?
Lord, we do this just in amazement of how you work, and the things you do, and how much you love us, Lord. Just forgive us for all our shortcomings, Lord. We love you.
Amen. It says, then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many of the forgiveness of sins." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Rex, can you bless the blood?
And Father, we stand here in awe of your sacrifice for us and how you love and care for us. And we do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you all. Appreciate you all being here this morning and being patient with us as we changed our plans about six different times. But those are sometimes my favorite Sundays when we kind of get out of God's way and let him do his thing. Aiden, if you can kind of stand in the middle of the church, and I'm going to ask Kim if we can all gather around him. Kim, if you can pray for Aiden and his ministry. If y'all want to gather around Aiden and just lay hands on him.